God is. God is great. And God is always going to be there for us. So, with that, it's a great service. And God bless. Stay called up.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Everybody's
still a bit sleepy here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday morning, the last Sunday of June. We have already passed half of the year, and we'll be stepping into the second half of the year soon. God has been good, and He's going to be good in the future too. So we trust in His promises every day. Please join with me on the announcements in the bulletin. The second page is all of our regular announcements. Those are the food bank ministry continues, and the books are still available. That will also help our mission work. Our third Thursday luncheon will be July 17th at Golden Corral. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship at 1 o'clock. As you all know, today is the last Sunday of the month where we will take time to celebrate our blessings of the month. Birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, new jobs, new homes, new cars, you name it. Whatever blessing that you can celebrate, we call it out and celebrate during the last Sunday of the month. And also we will celebrate with a lunch that we all like to have together, food. I mean, food comes always with a celebration with us. So please join that also. All are welcome for the lunch after service today. Please join for that and celebrate with the Hispanic ministry group in the fellowship hall. July 6th, next Sunday, is the first Sunday of July. As we do, we will have Holy Communion that we celebrate together. And we'll celebrate also July 4th, Independence Day, together with a combined service with our Hispanic ministry folks. So we'll have combined service and Holy Communion together. We'll be singing songs in Spanish and English and maybe something else. We don't know. Whatever language we can sing, we'll sing together. And also, there is only one language in heaven. That's not English.
That's right.
It's the language of love. So that's what we believe. And love speaks in many languages. And that's what we experience in this church. Thanks be to God for that.
So remember to wear red, white, and blue next week.
Red, white, and blue. We have special songs. And the Hispanic young youth group also is practicing some special song to celebrate next Sunday. And today is the last Sunday for 2 months of special assignment for Pastor Tim Owens and his wife Jenny, who had been here faithfully with us for the last 2 months, every Sunday preaching to us. We thank you for your love to us, and we welcome you back again.
Okay.
Please come, Jenny, and I hope you feel better today. You have been sick. Thank you for joining with us. We continue to look forward to working together in this community as we spread the love of Christ here. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Please use the opportunities to give in kind or in cash. There are many opportunities online. Please go and check our website at piedmontumc.com. There are several options that you can use. Please make use of that opportunity. And I have to acknowledge a couple of guests here today. I wanted to introduce Ms. Karen Perkle, if you understand. She's from the Forsyth Community Clinic, and as I've told you, we have been working together for the last several years. You can see it. And they are a free clinic to the community. They started their work, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago.
2 years ago?
Oh, it's only 2 years ago, because Evan Shoemake called me one time before they started this project and said, we need your help. And we had been friends since then. And we had a couple of events with them in the past couple of years. And she's here to talk to you about Forsyth Community Clinic, what they do in this community. And they are planning for an event on July 12th, Saturday. It is in the bulletin there, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in our parking lot and also in our fellowship hall. They will have free blood pressure monitoring and sugar insulin testing, all that stuff. And they have a mobile clinic also. She's going to explain all of that stuff to you now. And also I wanted to welcome Daryl to this service today. Please, when you have a fellowship time, stop by and say hi to these people. And Melissa, our Lisa's friend that had been here for several years ago. I'm glad to see you again back here. She's in Cleveland, Georgia now. She drove all the way up here to be with us. You're welcome too. Those are the announcements that I have before I before I invite Karen to talk about Forsyth Clinic. Anybody have any new announcements? Anything else that I missed? If not, Karen, please come up.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Karen Perkle. I'm a nurse. I'm also a volunteer at the Forsyth Community Clinic. First of all, I want to thank you for all the support that Piedmont has given us. It has been very meaningful to us and has helped us to get our message to the people in the community that need our help. Once again, you are supporting us by opening your doors to the people in the community to come and learn many things in our community event. It'll be on July the 12th. The title for the event is Mindful Moments, and it will be offered here. We're also going to do blood pressure screenings and blood sugar screenings. The leader for the Mindful Moments event is Rebecca Mann. She's a graduate student at the University of North Georgia here at the Cumming campus. She is a tremendous young woman. You'll really enjoy meeting her. Our goals for that particular event are to show you ways to recognize and cope with anxiety and depression. Now, in this world, I think we all need hope with some anxiety help. Yeah. We're also going to discuss the connection between anxiety and your diet and offer some alternatives for your diet that can help you with anxiety. We're also going to list some resources that are available in the community that you can use from then forward if you choose to. And we're also going to have a representative from Georgia Power here to talk to you about signing up for some help with electric bills. And I think help with electric bills can lower your anxiety. We want to invite you all to come and bring your family and friends, anybody that you know of that you think could use a little help coping, and I truly don't know anybody that doesn't need a little help coping right now. I want you to remember that the Forsyth Community Clinic is a no-cost, absolutely no-cost. We don't even have a way to bill. We don't have any way to keep money. We're fine just the way we are. We provide primary health care to uninsured residents of Forsyth County between the ages of 18 and 65. And all you have to prove is that you have a residence in Forsyth County. Again, thank you so much for the support you've already given us. And thank you for opening your doors to provide a place for people to gather to learn about ways to cope with anxiety and depression in our very stressful world. The Forsyth Community Clinic looks forward to working with Piedmont in the future to provide physical and spiritual help for the members of our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen, for introducing that. They also have a mobile clinic that they purchased a bus, I think, a year ago with some grant from the federal government, I think. And they go around and having clinics. Is the bus going to be here also?
We haven't decided yet. Okay. It depends on if we have another clinic scheduled on that day.
Okay. All right. So please join that invite your friends for that event on Saturday, July 12th from 11 to 3. In our parking lot and also in our fellowship hall. And I got another email that I think it is not through the Forsyth Community Clinic. It is somebody else who is associated with them who is willing to come and do offer CPR training. I think it is $45 per person, and they will give you a certified card and everything. So if you are interested, please let me know. If we have enough people, we can arrange a session for that training. And also, they have some other trainings also. Please let me know if you are interested in that training. I have no other announcements, and thank you for joining this service today. And God has given one more day to live in this world, not just to be for ourselves, but for a blessing to this world. So every day is a gift from God, so let us be thankful for that. And with that, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 117. O Lord, our help in ages past. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. Please stand if you are able. Please be seated. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning that you have given us to gather in your name here in this church and also online to worship you. We thank you for the privilege that you have given to us through your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this world to suffer and die. He rose from the dead so that we can have eternity with you, O God. Help us also to understand that you sent your Holy Spirit, the promise that you poured out the Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you for sending your Spirit to kindle our faith and lead us into all truth, working in the church to make us faithful disciples. As we celebrate the season of Pentecost, help us to be empowered every day by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ, that we can be your arms and feet to this community and around the world. Thank you again, God, for your kindness and mercy and your faithfulness that is everlasting to everlasting. Thank you for your presence in our midst here today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. We adore you. We magnify your name. Let your presence fill our hearts and our minds through the praises we sing, the prayers we make, the meditation of the word. In all these things that we do here, Lord, we pray that you will touch your people and bring honor to your name and blessing to your people. Or him through to him, of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be all the glory and honor and praise be forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now, a fellowship time. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Thank you. I love those.
One of them. Yeah.
You can get that. We'll lift it. You can take that.
All right, Darren.
Okay. Today's congregation choice is It Is Well With My Soul, page 377. This was chosen by Lou. Lou, do you have anything to say about your choice today?
Well, sometimes I'm in a very dark place. This is my favorite song.
Yeah.
I realize that everything is well with my soul. May not be with my body, but everything is well with my soul with Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
All right, so please stand and join us.
It's also a song, my favorite song, too. I've shared the story of this song with you many times. This story was written by a businessman in Chicago whose four daughters perished together in a shipwreck while they were on a journey to England. And I said that story many times before. And he was in Chicago. His wife was with the children. But she survived, but the four girls perished. And she ended up rescued in London and sent a telegram. This was in 1800s. She sent a telegram to her husband in Chicago saying that, saved alone, what shall I do? So when he looked at the telegram, he didn't know what to make of it, but the news came in a few hours saying about this incident, and he knew exactly what happened. The next couple of days, he decided to go to be with his wife in London as they were passing through the sea. At the same spot where they passed through, where his children perished. This is the Lord. This is the song that God gave him during that time in the ship. So please keep that in mind. It's a very, very touching song, very experiential song. It is well with my soul, no matter what happens in our lives. God is good. Please stand if you are able and join 377.
Yeah.
as you remain standing. We will read from the scripture. It is an affirmation from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 37 through 39. There's two parts to it. The leader will lead, Ivy will lead it, and then people will respond on the second part. It's also on page 887 of the book.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, prosecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
No. In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loves us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth,
Amen. It's our prayer time now, where we bring our prayers of praises and blessings, and we thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives, and also we bring our prayers of concerns and burdens together as a church family, and share with each other, and also lift them up to the throne of grace of God, united in faith. Because God's promise is that when God's people unite in faith and lift up our prayers, God will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. So let us share our prayers of burdens and concerns. If you look at the back of the bulletin, there's a box with several prayer requests there. This is our regular prayer request, that we continue to pray for these people and these items. Use this sheet as a guidance for your prayers every day, and remember these people and these items regularly in our prayers. Particularly, we pray for Jean McBrayer, Grace Ains, Harry Basil, Carol Clements, Wayne Clements, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway. Those people are asking our prayers for healing in their bodies. Please lift them up so that God will heal them according to His grace. And Yolanda has asked me to pray for her.
My cousin and her husband. My cousin Beta, her cancer reappeared, and she is now eternally, forever on chemo.
What's her name again?
Beta.
Beta, okay.
Beta Lau, and her husband Ed had open heart surgery, and now his pacemaker had to be put outside of his body, which is connected through wires and batteries and things like that.
Okay, we'll pray for them and we'll add them to the
Ed
prayer
is
list.
His name.
Ed. Yes, yeah, we'll add them to the prayer list. Please pray for Bertha and Ed for their healing and God's peace to be with them during this time of their ailment. Pray for peace in the Middle East and in the world. As you all know that things are not looking good, but God is good. So let us pray that God will bring peace to those areas through the people who are working there. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, traffickers, grocery clerks, delivery people, many, many others, farmers, construction workers, name it, that people who work behind the scenes to make our life easier every day. Let us be thankful for their services and also pray for them and pray for their families. Let us pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, governors, mayors, many, many others who are in power and positions who make decisions that affect our daily lives. So let us pray that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and to make the right decisions. Let us also pray for world leaders that they will also fear God when they make decisions and will bring peace to this world. Let us pray for our church, and let us pray that God will give us the power of the Holy Spirit to be His powerful witness, to share His love to this community around the world, and also around the world. We also pray for all the churches in coming and around this community, all the pastors, ministers, and many, many others. We also pray for the world church at large, missionaries and many others who work around the world for spreading the love of Christ, that God will give them the grace and the peace during this time. Those are the regular prayer requests that I wanted to share with you for our prayers. Anybody has any more call-outs or special prayer requests? Anybody? If not, we'll continue our prayer time. We'll take a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall wear. It is not important. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, but your heavenly Father feeds them all." Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for this time of prayer that you gave us to come before you with our prayers of praises and the prayers of burdens. We come before you as your children, trusting in your promise that you will answer our prayers according to your time and your will. We lift up those who need healing in their bodies at this time, Lord, the ones that we have named earlier, Jean and Grace, Harry, Carol, Wayne, Jerry, Sean, and Amy Conway, and also pray for Berta and Ed, as they are looking up to you for their healing. Lord, we read in your scripture that your stripes, that we have been healed. You not only died for our sins, but also you died for our sickness. When we trust in you, you give us healing in our bodies and in our souls. We lift up our dear ones into your hands, O God. Touch them with your healing hand. Above all, we pray for peace for them and for their families and the ones who care for them. We pray for all of those who are in the hospitals, nursing homes, and many situations struggling with their health and many other issues. We pray for your grace upon them and the healing upon them, O God. We also pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us on a daily basis. Bless them with your grace. We pray for their families, also for their safety. We pray for peace in the Middle East and around the world. We pray for the world leaders also, that they will fear God when they make decisions and bring peace to this world. We pray for our country, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions. We pray that you will give them the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to make the right decisions that will bring peace and unity in this country also. We pray for our church. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given us in this community to be your witness. Bless us, Lord, to be faithful in doing and using the opportunities that you have given us faithfully to serve you and also to serve the people in this community. We pray for all the churches here and also around the world, plus all the pastors, the missionaries, many others who work in many parts of the world in difficult situations. We pray for your grace upon them, strengthen them with your Holy Spirit, guide them and empower them, Lord. We thank you again for your presence in our midst today. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints here in this world and also in heaven, that we honor you, we adore you. When we come before you, you bless us with your grace in our meditation of the word and the lunch that we partake here today, Lord. Lord, bless us with your grace according to each of us, our desires, the hearts, and also our needs. You will give your Holy Spirit to fill us, Lord. Help us to worship you together. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. We We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Doxology. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your continued abundant blessings that you give us. As we offer these gifts, may it encourage us to serve you and serve others, and keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Psalm 46. Going very slowly, not moving. Yeah, it just wasn't moving. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm always... Did I touch something on the screen there that messed something up? Sorry about that if I did. I'm always excited to be able to share the Word of God and teach the Word of God. And I'm always anxious to get started on doing that. But today's an exception, because I know as soon as I get started on this, I'm going to be moving toward the end, and that's the end of my time here. For 2 months, I have been with y'all every Sunday, and it's hard to see this come to a close for me. I know 2 months is not a long period of time, but in that 2 months, I've really felt a part of you here at Piedmont Fellowship, and you guys have been so gracious and kind. I know you didn't have probably any choice in the matter of me coming here, but you've been very patient with me and very attentive, and I appreciate that. And I just want to say it's been a real joy to be here with you. And I want to thank your pastor. By the way, I think y'all know this, but y'all are very blessed to have a pastor like Pastor Matthew. He really carries himself in a way that bears the name of God, the image of God. And I know you're thankful for that. So you guys continue to be thankful for him and to take care of him. And I'm going to be back. I'm going to come back toward the end of July sometime. I'm going to hear Pastor preach and just worship with you guys. And I'm really looking forward to that. And we're going to go to lunch together. That's right. And I know that we've got lunch today. And the time is slipping away from us. And boy, I tell you, a preacher never wants to be long-winded when there's food down in the fellowship hall. So I will be brief today. But I'm so thankful that I can share with you once more from the Word of God. And I'm very thankful that we can share today from a psalm. I love the Psalms. And I love to teach and preach from the Psalms. And the one that we're going to look at today, Psalm 46, is definitely one of my favorite. Before we dive into our study, though, would you pray with me just one more time? Let's ask God to let us hear His voice and to hear His truth today and respond in faith. Father, we believe that the Holy Spirit inspired all of the Bible, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So Lord, I pray today that during this time, the one who wrote this, ultimately the author of the text, would be the one who speaks to us. My faith, Lord, is not in my ability, for sure. My knowledge, my study, my faith is in the God who still speaks. And I pray today, Lord, that we would hear your voice. So come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts, bend our wills towards you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think one of the reasons that I love preaching from the Psalms or just reading the Psalms is that, as you know, the Psalms are poetry and songs. And they're not poetry in the sense of the poetry that we think about. You know, in English, we think of poetry as words that rhyme and have a certain rhythm and a meter. Hebrew poetry is not like that. But one of the characteristics of Hebrew poetry is it's so vivid. It's so graphic. And if you were listening to the words that Lisa read today, I hope you noticed how graphic this psalm is. This psalm was written in, or perhaps after, a time of great trouble and turmoil. And if you hear the language of the poem, it speaks of that so effectively when it talks about the children of Israel being in this place of chaos, of upheaval. Did you hear what the psalmist says? He says, we're not going to fear even though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar, and though the sea foams up, and though the mountains shake. Isn't that vivid language? The psalmist is speaking of a situation in which the earth, it feels like, is moving up under him. And everything is unstable, and he's in a state of upheaval and chaos. Now, we don't know with 100% certainty when this psalm was written, but most Old Testament scholars who are expert in these things feel that it was probably written when the city of Jerusalem was being besieged by the Assyrian army. And I know Old Testament history can be very deep and complicated. Sometimes we lose the details of our Old Testament history, but just to remind you of that bit of history, in the 8th century B.C., the Assyrian army, Assyria was the world power in that time, in that period. This is before Babylon. Assyria was the military force. And not only was Assyria powerful, Assyria was brutal. And I'm not even going to tell you some of the historical incidents that occurred when Assyrian armies invaded an enemy. They had no heart, no mercy. They were a brutal people. And in the 8th century, they had invaded the northern kingdom of Israel. And if you remember, the northern kingdom was taken away into captivity. But the Assyrian king decided that they were going to go down into Judah and they were going to invade Jerusalem. But God intervened and God spared Jerusalem. And the only way Jerusalem could have been spared was through the hand of God, through the intervention of God. And that's what this psalm probably is written about. If it wasn't written about that, it was written about some other kind of cataclysmic battle against Jerusalem where it felt like the children of Israel had no hope outside of God. Now, I'm very fortunate. I've never been in war. I've never been in battle. But even though I haven't, I have felt there have been times in my life when the earth was moving. Have you? Have you ever felt surrounded? Have you ever felt like your life is chaos? And there's so many things that are beyond your control that you must place yourself at the mercy of God. If God doesn't intervene, if God doesn't sustain you, then your city will fall, so to speak. That's the context of this psalm. And I want us to think, I know there's only 11 verses here, but there's a lot of meat, and I know our time is short. But I want to just briefly walk through the three sections of this psalm and remind you of what the psalmist is telling us about God. And if you happen to be in a place today in your own life that feels like the earth is moving and life is kind of beyond your control, I pray that God would give you comfort through these words. The way I want to do this, there's three sections in the psalm, verses 1 to 3, 4 to 7, and 8 through 11. And I want to give you just two words for each section. All of these words describe something about God, except the very last, which is going to call us to respond to God, to respond to the God of the Bible, the God of this psalm. First of all, in verses 1 to 3, the psalmist tells us about a God who is our shelter and our strength. In verse 1, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And surely the children of Israel, there as they were surrounded by Assyria, needed a refuge, needed a shelter. They found that God was the only shelter that could withstand the storm. You know, the quality of any shelter is determined by its strength to withstand the storm. I remember when I was a kid, I've told you before, I had the great fortune of growing up on a farm. And me and my buddies, when we were growing up, we were very fun. We had little hatchets and we would go out in the woods and we would chop down these little trees and we would build these shelters. And we thought we were such architects. But I want to tell you, the shelters we built in those days would not have withstood much of a storm. And the quality of any shelter is based upon what it will withstand. And you know, in life, in the sorrows and the chaos of life, so often we go looking for a shelter, don't we? And what the Bible wants us to do, hear me today, the Bible wants to keep us from building our own shelters. Because our own shelters won't stand. But there is a shelter that will withstand any storm.
Yes.
And that shelter is the person of God, the character of God. God is our refuge, our shelter and strength, a very present help in trouble. The psalmist says in verse 2, and I love this and I need this in my own life so much. The psalmist makes this wonderful confession of faith. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear, even though the earth give way. We will not be afraid. The psalmist says we will not live in fear, even though the earth is moving up under us. Even though we feel like, you know, a seismic shift is taking place under our feet. We will not fear. Isn't that a tremendous confession? I want to be able to make that confession more in my own life. I don't know about you. I'm not a fearless person. I mean, to be quite honest, I hate to admit this, so embarrassing to be a preacher, if you're honest and transparent. The way my nature is, the way my psychological makeup is, I tend to be a pretty fearful person sometimes. I tend to be an anxiety-laden person in my own nature. And the only way that I can find deliverance and freedom from fear is knowing the God that is stronger than all my circumstances.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we who embrace the Christian faith, who are followers of Jesus Christ, sometimes we are accused of being escapists, that we live in a fantasy world, that so much of our time is spent occupied with things that are outside of reality. And I want to say to you, I think that is a very false and phony accusation against the Christian faith. Because the faith of the Bible is not a faith that denies reality. The Israelites here in Psalm 46, are they denying the power of the Assyrian army? They absolutely are not. They are acknowledging that the mountains will fall into the sea if God does not sustain them. They're acknowledging a very real threat. The Christian faith is not an escape from reality. It is putting our confidence in a reality that transcends all other realities. Boy, if I'd have been in a Baptist church, there would have been an amen here this morning. Isn't that right, Sister Lou?
Amen. Yes. Amen.
There is a reality. I hope you're hearing me this morning. This is the essence of biblical faith, is that there is a reality that transcends other realities. The Christian faith is not a faith that denies reality. It is a faith that anchors its confidence in a higher reality. In verse 2, the psalmist says, we will not fear. Why? Because we're stronger than the Assyrians? No. Because the Assyrians cannot defeat us? No. Because our hope is in God, who is a refuge, a very present help in times of trouble, a shelter that can truly withstand the storm. There is shelter and strength in Him this morning. There is presence and stability. If we look back at verse 4 and 7, I love this part of the psalm. The psalmist says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Again, it's very important that we understand that this scripture here, this is poetry. It's very helpful sometimes if we remind what type of literature we're reading in the Bible. Because poetry has that ability to take us beyond the literal to the emotional. And what the psalmist is saying here is beyond the literal. He says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The city of God, of course, is Jerusalem. But guess what? Jerusalem doesn't have a river. Do you know that? You know that most ancient cities were built upon rivers. Because without that river would be a source of life to the occupants of the city if it were besieged. you know, foreign armies in ancient times so often would defeat their enemies by besieging the city and starving the city out. So for a large city to be able to defend itself, most ancient cities were built upon rivers, and they would have this constant supply of water and fish that would come through the city, and they would be able to withstand besieges. But Jerusalem was a city that was not protected by a river. It was a city that was protected by her God, by the presence of God Himself. When the psalmist refers in verse 4 to this river that flows through Jerusalem, he is speaking poetically, speaking in symbolism, in metaphor. He is speaking of the very presence of God, that the presence of God is what will sustain them, not their physical, natural resources, but a supernatural resource, God Himself. Look at verse 5. I love this. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. You see, God, and again, this is important. Let me talk. I'm going to give you a little theological language here. Y'all forgive me for that. I wouldn't do it except that I think it's meaningful. You know, I think one of the challenges that we have in the Christian life is to get a biblical idea of God down in our heart. A biblical idea. And the Bible teaches us two things about God that sometimes we have a hard time bringing together. That God is transcendent. God is above all. God is sovereign. He is in the heavens. We talk about that in worship so much, don't we? That's a great part of worship. That's an essential part of worship. I didn't come here to worship a God who is on my level.
All right.
A God that's on my level is not much of a God.
Yeah, right.
I came to worship a God who is above me,
yes,
who is transcendent, a God who is the Creator, the Eternal One, the One who is from everlasting to everlasting,
yes,
the One who is above all. But at the same time, the God of the Bible, and I think this is the part we struggle with most, to be honest, the God of the Bible is transcendent, but He's also immanent. That means He's also near. He's also close. Isn't there a mystery in that? That the God that we worship is both high and close. And what the psalmist celebrates here in verses 4 and 5 is this idea that God is with us. God is in the midst of us. Listen, this is so important. I hope you will hear this part. If you feel like you're in a place right now where the earth is shaking and when so much of life is beyond your control, remember the words of the psalmist, God is in the midst of her. In other words, listen, hear me, dear ones, God is in the place that is shaking. He's not just above do you see that in the psalm? He's not just above Jerusalem. He's in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
That's what the incarnation is all about. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. That means He came near. He became one of us. When God became flesh, He became the substance that can be wounded. He became the substance that can be pierced, that can be struck, that can be spat upon, that can be nailed to a cross. God is both high and near. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of your shaking earth today.
Yes.
Do you believe that? Amen. That He is with you. He is in you. That's why the city won't be moved. In verse 5, He says, God is in the midst of her, therefore she will not be moved. The stability that Jerusalem finds is not because of her natural defenses, or not because of her strength, or not because of her strategy. The stability and the calmness that Jerusalem finds is in her God. That's why she will not be moved. God is in the midst of her. Can you see him? Can you see him in the midst of your shaking city this morning?
Amen.
Whatever that is, I pray you can. I pray that you can know that he is a God who is high, he is transcendent, but he's also a God who is near. He is a God who is with you. He is in the place that is shaking. Then finally, verses 8 to 11, I'll try to summarize this briefly, but there's some important truth here. In verses 8 through 11, we see this concept of peace and surrender. Verse 8, he says, "Come and behold the works of the Lord, how he's wrought desolations on the earth." And then verse 9, there is a phrase here in this psalm that I absolutely love. If you look there at the very beginning of verse 9, he makes wars cease. Just let that kind of echo in your heart for a moment. The God that we worship today makes wars cease. See, that's exactly what he did there in Jerusalem. As the Assyrian army surrounded, and God intervened and spared his people, he made the war cease. Now we know that this is only a foretaste, right? This is only a foreshadowing. We've all been listening to the news quite intently about the Middle East, and the Bible is very clear, and Jesus is very clear that even that the birth pains that we see when the end does come, there will be wars and rumors of wars, and Amen. Kingdom will rise against kingdom, and nation will rise against nation. The reality of war will continue as long as the sinful heart of man burns with this lust for power and territory. But this is a foretaste, dear ones, of a promise that we don't talk about in church enough. There's coming a day when wars will cease. The Old Testament prophets return to this theme so often. Isaiah 2 and 4 says, "Speaking of the Messiah, he shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords and the plowshares and their spears and the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Hosea reminds us in Hosea 2 and 18, God says, "In the reign of the Messiah, I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety." My favorite, Zechariah 9 and 9, is a passage that we quote each year when we talk about the triumphal procession, when we talk about Palm Sunday, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem, that last entrance. There is a quote there that the gospel writers echo. It's from Zechariah chapter 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And then the very next verse in Zechariah's prophecy is this: "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Listen, there's coming a day when wars will cease. Do you believe that?
Amen. Yes.
We should be reminded of that hope from time to time. That there is coming a day when the great war ceaser will rule the nation. And they will study war no more. Thanks be to God. But now, when the battles are raging around us, it does our heart and our minds good to know that He is the one, that He is the only one who will ultimately make war cease. To these attributes of God, the psalmist said, I'm concluding now. So if your stomach's growling, just pretend like you're clearing your throat or something, okay? You're almost there. All of what the psalmist tells us about God leads us to the crescendo of this song, if you will, in verse 10, when the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. See, here the psalmist is calling for a response. The God of Israel that the psalmist has written about and declared is a God who calls for a response. And what is the response here? It is to be still and to know, to acknowledge. In the Hebrew mind, when the Hebrews talk, in most cases, when the Hebrews talk about knowing, it's not head knowledge. It's not facts. That's more of a Greek idea. But to the Hebrew mind, to know that I am God, it's relationally. Know that I am God. Surrender to my being God. What is the response to the deliverance of Jerusalem that God elicits from His people? Be still and know. The word here is fascinating. Let me just dive into this just for a minute. We'll close, but this is so important. The word that is used here in the Hebrew language, and I'm not pretending that I'm a Hebrew scholar, barely speak English some days, but in my study, and I did study Hebrew years and years ago, the stem of this word in this context, it literally means to let go or to let down. There are some places in the Old Testament when this word is used, it means to literally let your hands down. It means to release. And some of the English translations capture that. The New American Standard says to cease striving and know that I'm God. Young's literal translation says desist. You remember that old legal term? Cease and desist. When somebody's doing something illegal and you write a cease and desist letter, hopefully you've not gotten one of those in your mailbox this week. It means you're doing something illegal, and it means stop. Stop what you're doing. Cease striving. The old English translation, the New English Bible, says, let be then, learn that I am God. Moffat translates this, give in. What I think this passage is saying here, it's more than just be quiet. It's lay down your arms. It's a call to surrender to who God is. Be still and know. James Boyce, a wonderful Presbyterian minister that has gone on to be with the Lord, writes this about this verb. He says, it means in this context to lay down your arms and surrender. Surrender to who God is. It's a beautiful invitation today. Surrender. To let your arms fall down. You know, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you this in my life. When chaos comes, and I'm not going to share anything private with you, but the last couple of years of my wife and I have been going through a very trying situation in our family. Very uncontrollable. We keep this beyond our power. Y'all have been there. Y'all live there.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And there's nothing you can do. And if you're not careful, the circumstances of your life can become your life. And when the circumstances of your life become your life, it chokes out your life. And what this verb means is to to let go, lay down your arms. I mean, I don't know about you, but listen, I've spent too much of my time of late trying to hold up stuff that I can't control. You can't stop the mountains from falling into the sea. You can't stop the kingdoms from raging. So God says, be still and know me. Trust me even when the earth is shaking. Does it mean that God is going to make everything right in this world? No, it does not. But does it mean that God is going to be a refuge and a shelter that is unshakable in the midst of all the chaos of this world? Does it mean that? Does it mean you can trust Him?
Yes.
Yes, it does. So surrender. Let your hands fall down. And know that He's God. Father, help us to hear the call of this psalm today. It celebrates who you are, but it calls us to respond. It calls us to surrender, Lord, to lay down our arms, to surrender those things to you that we cannot control, that we cannot affect, that we cannot manipulate, Lord. And when it feels like the mountains are falling all around us, God, may we flee into that rock that is higher than us, the refuge that will hold, the shelter that will weather the storm. May we trust in you and know that you are the only one that makes wars cease. May they cease in our heart, even if they don't cease outside of us. May we know your peace and not be moved in a way that we can take your image and your character and bear it into a world that is in so often utter chaos. Thank you that you are the God of peace, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Help us to be still. And know you even now. Surrender to you even now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. What a great God we have. The closing hymn is How Firm a Foundation. It is 529 in the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
Please. remain standing for the benediction. And for anybody who can, please join us for lunch. There's going to be plenty of food. And we would love to break bread with each of you who can. Now, I ask you to turn your eyes to the one who is able to keep you from falling, to the one who is able to keep you from being shaken, to the one who is able to shelter and sustain you no matter what, to him who is able to keep you falling and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, majesty, power, and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.